It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, 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 we're not afraid here and declare your independence of me, Ernest Hancock, in studio. I have Gary Franchi from RestoreTheRepublic.com and RealityReport.tv. And one of our very, 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 very special friends is online with us. He's going to be coming to Phoenix and doing a tour just like Gary's out here having fun. Michael Badnarik. I got you on there, Michael.
You do. Thanks so much.
You know, Michael, I wanted you to make sure we take this half hour. You can share with me and Gary every little thing about what you're doing and also what you're coming to Phoenix for. You're going to grace us with your presence. What are you going to be doing?
Well, the big event is the Constitution class on Saturday. It's going to be at the Radisson Hotel near the airport. And we're going to explain to people the difference between rights and privileges. And I tell them that it's, my class is penicillin, political penicillin, that you will never be infected with socialism ever again.
You mean so, like the Constitution?
Yeah, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and
My point is that socialism. I want you to address this issue. I am like, you know, I first started doing. I'm like, you know, the Constitution's Constitution. Might as well call it the Communist Manifesto. You know, I mean, it's all about, it gives the central power to eminent domain, take my property, to tax me, to regulate commerce. If I was king, what the heck else would I want? So then you had the anti-federalists, the libertarians of the day going, oh, heck no. You know, they were Articles of Confederation. Nobody even talks about Articles of Confederation. And so what happens, we get Hamilton, he gets in there and he goes, we want to have a central bank kind of thing. And what they did is they said, you damn libertarians, okay, we'll give you this Bill of Rights thing of all the list of thou shalt nots of government, and then we'll get what we want, which is a central plan for freedom. And I'm going, okay. So they gave it a shot. I tell you what, Lysander Spooner made the point. He goes, if it didn't cause what we got problems with right now, it sure as heck didn't prevent it. So I am looking to Michael Badnarik, an expert on the Constitution. You and I parallel on so many things. You're coming here. We're real supportive of you coming and learnifying us on the Constitution. But I need to have, where did it go wrong and how can we make it right? Gary Franchi's along the same lines that you are, and we're trying to see where we overlap and help each other.
Well, before I even talk about the Constitution, we talk about these principles that you're expressing right now. The fact that we have, you and I and Gary have individual rights, that we give the government privileges, and so, and I admit during class the Constitution is not perfect, but you got to know what it says, and we've got to get, you know, moving in that direction before we can fix it and make it better. But ultimately, the simplest way is to ask, you know, in any decision in your life, who do you want making those decisions? You want to make those decisions yourself, or do you want the government making those decisions for you? And it's all about autonomy, being able to make your own decisions.
Well, the promise is that you're going to have a government that says, pinky swear, we're going to protect individual rights. In fact, the Declaration of Independence, you know, Jefferson's going, hey, look, man, the only justification for government is protection of individual rights. And when it stops doing that, then it's time to change.
And I think it's time to change what we got back to, you know, something closer to what we had. And if we can get the people to understand these concepts, we may be able to make you happy and going, oh, none of the above is always an option.
Every day it is. I mean, we live in an anarchist soup already anyway. I don't have anybody directing what I do. You know, it's just that whenever it conflicts with the interest of, you know, the government or somebody that has a government agent in their pocket, then all of a sudden they're going to tell me what I can and can't do. If it doesn't bother them, hell, it might as well be China. China doesn't care. Be free. Do whatever you want, but you better not be challenging the state. And they're starting to realize that this free market capitalism thing produces more wool from the sheep. So they're not embracing freedom. They're embracing an increase in productivity. So I'm going, you know, here it's gotten so bad, though. So many people are in line to shear the sheep that, you know, they have to slaughter the sheep or kill the goose that's laying the golden egg, you know, so that they think they can get inside and get more eggs. You know, and I'm going, they stopped producing. Now what? So I'm in your class. I'm wanting to get to the now what. We're at a stage where it's pretty obvious, you know, it's broke. How do we fix it?
Well, you know, at the end of the class, the answer is pretty clear. But we're not going to fix it with voting. You know, we're going to have to fix it with a widespread understanding of the people. And it may take a little bit of tar and feathers in between. You know,
yeah, I'm
not going to be pretty. Oh, I'm there. I am there. I am just waiting for other people to be there.
Well, how they get there is through education. You're doing that. What's some of the main concepts? And I'm sure that you use this Constitution preservation. So what are we preserving in the Constitution that we want to have preserved? What's great about the Constitution?
Right. Life, liberty, and property. That's what it is all about. And the Constitution was an attempt. And I'll agree, it's not a perfect document. But given where they were coming from, where the king has all the property and makes all the rules, it was a significant step in the right direction. We dropped the ball and let it go back, but I keep telling people it is only a piece of paper. If the Constitution were perfect, and it's not, but hypothesizing if the Constitution were perfect, nobody read it, understand it, nobody was standing up to defend it, you could either bury it underneath a pyramid or put it in the bottom of a birdcage for all it's worth, because it's just a list of ideas. And unless you understand the ideas and defend them, you've got nothing. And I've written an article in my newsletter called An Appeal to Authority. When we're young, we got to do whatever mom and dad say. Then we go to school, we got to do what the teacher says. And then we get your driver's license, got to do what the police officer says. You get your first job, you got to do what your manager says. Well, it's no damn wonder that we're looking to someone else for permission all the time. And in my classes, occasionally I go, look, this is how simple it is. Don't hurt me, don't take my stuff, and I won't have to hurt you back. It's not about the piece of paper, not about the Constitution, not about the Bill of Rights, just between you and I. As long as you understand that you can't hurt me and you can't take my stuff without, you know, suffering the repercussions, then we're good. And we don't need a piece of paper.
You know, I talk to my children and I say when they go to work and they work for the man. I mean, they're working for someone and they're kind of the mind, like everybody wants to do their own thing and start their own business and so on. They work on that. And I go, you know, I tell you, when you're working for someone, you know, your labor is yours. I mean, it's their job. They own it. It's not your job. It's your labor. So you do their job the way they want their job done, and you do it with integrity. You work hard, not because whether they appreciate you or not because they have, you know, their cousin that works for them and doesn't work as hard and pay them more and all that. That's not the point. The point is that you own your labor, your own integrity, your credibility. You work for you, not for them. And it gets so bad, then fine, go somewhere else. So it's an attitude of how you look at it. But here in America, from the very beginning in the Constitution, when they did this, even just the concept of eminent domain, they made us all sharecroppers from the very beginning. They go, oh, it's all ours, okay? You're just lucky if we're going to let you have some. It's kind of the concept you get in religions, and they, you know, the church will say, oh, no, it's all God's. You're lucky we let you, he lets you keep 90%. You know, I'm just, this whole concept that it's always all theirs, right then, right then I knew, man, we're in trouble. And when I was a young man in the late 80s, I read the Constitution straight through and saw him going, whoa, if it wasn't for the Bill of Rights, this thing would suck.
Well, that's because you and I have 230-some-odd years of hindsight. When people read the Constitution, Article 1, I forget what section it says, talks about black people are 3/5, you're doing representation. So black people count as 3/5. And people read that and go, oh my God, this is terrible. You know, black people are only rated at, you know, like 60% human. And they get all upset. But you don't understand. Before that, they were rated at 0% human. This was a 60% increase.
It is an evolution. We are heading in a, you know, a better direction. Hopefully humanity marches on. I'm just marching a little bit further. We'll see how far we can march with Michael Badnarik, Gary Franchi, with me, Ernest Hancock, and Declare Your Independence a little more in just a little bit.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
William Wallace, you stand in taint of high treason.
Against whom?
Against your king. Have you anything to say?
Never in my whole life did I swear allegiance to him.
It matters not. He is your king. Confess, and you may receive a quick death. Deny, and you must be purified by pain. Do you confess? Do you confess? Then on the morrow you shall receive your purification.
Yeah, and the morrow's coming. You know, this is what I'm talking. It matters not. He is your king. Do I get the vote? No. No, you don't. Well, Section 8, powers of Congress. You know, Congress shall have the power to lay and collect taxes, duties, imposts, excises, to pay the debts and provide for the common defense, general welfare, whatever the heck that is, of the United States. We have all this, to borrow money on the credit of the United States. Boy, you knew you were getting screwed with that one right there. To regulate commerce with foreign nations and among the several states and with Indian tribes, to coin money, to provide for punishment of blah, 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 blah. It goes on and on and on, all the things that they get to do. And then at the last paragraph in Section 8, what does it say? To make all laws which shall be necessary and proper for carrying into execution the foregoing powers, all this long list of laundry list of stuff they want to do, and all other powers vested by this Constitution in the government of the United States or in any department or officer thereof. I'm going, oh my goodness, if I was a Tyrannosaurus Rex, that's exactly what I'd want. I say, ooh, and it's got pinky swear, we'll be nice. Well, why do you think Patrick Henry and Thomas Paine and Jefferson, they went, oh, heck no. Heck no. Then we got the compromise, Bill of Rights. And I'm telling you, the Declaration of Independence and the Bill of Rights, you know, just two ends of a bologna sandwich, okay? So this promise that they made us and the Federalist Papers, all they're going to do and not do, I say, man, all you got to do is read the Constitution. At the very beginning, they were going to screw us, in my opinion.
Well, they certainly are screwing us. Whether that was the intention of the Constitution is yet to be determined. I wasn't there. I am kind of long in the tooth, but I wasn't around when they were signing it originally.
Well, you know, this is so the concept. I'll give us this. Okay, there was a promise made. If you read the Federalist Papers, you know, you kind of get what the promise was, or way far away from that. But the Anti-Federalist Papers, you know, a lot of the Anti-Federalist guys are the guys that actually signed the Declaration. You know, the people that signed the Constitution, heck, I don't even know, what is there, just a few people that overlapped the two lists. So you have the Anti-Federalist guys going, oh, let me tell you what's going to happen. If you read the Anti-Federalist Papers, you go, oh, my goodness, they were clairvoyant. No, they weren't. They just read it. They could see what was coming. It was intentional. So I have no problem going. I have no problem advocating what the promise was. But I want to definitely take every opportunity I have that we're not lying to ourselves and that we understand what it actually said, what authority it gave them. And in the last part, everybody goes, Section 8, oh, this is all the stuff that they're supposed to do. Except the last little part there, to make all laws which shall be necessary and proper to carry in the execution the foregoing powers. Well, what the heck does that mean? It means whatever the heck they say it does.
Well, actually, necessary and proper clause was supposed to be a limiting clause, but it is now interpreted to give them anything they want. And we do cover that in the class.
Well, who did they give the power to interpret it? They gave their employees called the, you know, Black Robe Supreme Court. And go, you know what? We're going to go to the U.S. federal government, and we're going to have this separate branch of it. You know, it's like saying the separate branch of Walmart. I mean, you know, we're going to decide whether we're bad to our employee, and we're going to go to the Walmart branch of see if we're bad to the employee department. And I'm going, yay. You know, I feel so much better. So I want to make sure that we open. I love you, Michael, and I know you know a lot about this, and I know you're on the right side, and I know you're advocating the principles behind it and the promise, and that we need to, you know, get this thing working. And I'm telling you, you know, I, as much as I support the education, all the knowledge that you have, and you have been inspiring to me to go and read it and look more at it. And I'm going, the more I do, I'm going, holy crap, we were screwed from the beginning.
Well, how are we going to get people to stand up and throw it away and come up with something better?
I don't need to throw it away. I just ignore it. I don't look to a piece of paper. I don't look to him. You know, they'll go, when they got a gun pointed to my head and they go, yes, you are. It matters not. He is your king. I'm going, yeah, I guess so. Yeah, whatever. You know, but
I ignore the driver's license thing. I ignore the concealed carry permit thing. I ignore all the other permits that they want me to have. So, I mean, I'm on your side.
Well, where are we going as humanity? Before we get to the end of this half hour with you, I want to make sure that, you know, we have an end game here. We're looking to do what? You want what for humanity, Michael?
I want everybody to interact individually based on life, liberty, and property. Don't hurt anybody. Don't take anybody's stuff. That's how simple and easy it is. But, you know, if you and I are walking through the jungle, we come into a group of cannibals. Well, you and I think that eating somebody is like, well, bad. We are outnumbered. Unless we can convince a vast majority of the people surrounding us that, well, this is really a bad idea, we're going to be the first ones in the pot. And so it's an ideological war. Most Americans have been inundated, well, since the 1900s with this socialistic, the government is in charge, and the government will tell you what you can do kind of stuff, that people take it for granted. So whether you and I agree with it or not, you know, the best way for us to enjoy the type of life that we want is to teach people that's really the best way for us, for them, for everybody.
No, I'm with you, brother. I'm just trying to see how the Bill of Rights, and the Declaration of Independence, I'm all over it. You know, I understand the reasoning behind that. In fact, they brought in the Bill of Rights trying to counter this effort from the centralization of whatever in the Constitution.
It has nothing to do with the piece of paper. It has to do with the general principles, the promise, and whether the American people understand and defend the promise. I don't care if you want to burn the Constitution, you want to shred the Bill of Rights, I really don't give a care, because I've got my shoulder holster, I've got my silver, and I'm not going to hurt you, and I'm not going to let you or anybody else hurt me. It's that simple. And in the meantime, you know, I'm going around teaching this class so there are fewer and fewer people out there that want to hurt me.
Amen, brother. You know, I'm glad you're out there, Michael. And you and I have had this, you know, conversation privately and publicly before. And this is for the benefit of the audience, and we're still good friends. But, you know, I want to make sure that, you know, people understand, hey, you know, you deal with Michael, or you got to deal with people that think like me. bad guys.
Well, I love you, Ernie, because you make me look so moderate.
I know. I know. That's the role I play, you know, for a lot of people. Well, we're looking forward to having you come out. We're going to have a good time. We're going to support yours. I'm looking forward to seeing you. It's always good to spend time with you, Michael. It's the Constitution Preservation event that we're having here in Phoenix, Arizona, and you go to Freedoms Phoenix, and we have a big banner ad at the top of freedomsphoenix.com, and you can just go straight to it, gives you all the information. What website you want to give out for it?
ConstitutionPreservation.org.
And Gary wants to say something. Go ahead.
Hey, Michael, how are you doing?
Hey, I love you, man. How are you? You're going to come. You're going to be in Valley Forge with me.
Yes, sir.
I'll take my class in Valley Forge as my guest.
Well, I would love to, and I remember taking the class when you came out to Chicago, and I think it's a really important thing that everybody needs to sit down, and you just really have a way with presenting it and putting it in terms that people can understand. So I'm a big advocate for it and the education aspect and waking up minds. So I'll see you there.
And, Michael, I don't know if you know, I'm not a speaker, but I'm going to be on Radio Row at Valley Forge.
I do know that.
Yeah, so we're going to be there. We're going to have all kinds of fun. Everybody, you know, the show, I mean, we bring you all the good guys like Michael, Bat, and Eric. We're looking forward to seeing him, and we'll be doing a lot of live coverage and all kinds of goodies. Have him in studio and everything when he's here in Phoenix next week. Michael, thanks for coming on. We'll be right back here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and Gary Franchi.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Having a good time. Shooting star leaping through the sky like a tiger, defying the laws of gravity. I'm a racing car, passing by like Lady Godiva. I'm gonna go, there's no stopping me.
Yeah, there's no stopping me. That's right, you just can't shut me up. You know, the friends were doing the thing on space and a bunch of stuff that was going on in private space program, and they said, and we have a slogan, we did signs when we did Burt Rutan's Spaceship One out there back in 04 and everything, and one of the signs said, you can't, in space, you can't hear the government scream in space. And all the guys are like, they go, yeah, but you can hear Ernie. Yeah, because, Gary Franchi is here. He just he had to run the restroom real quick and be back in a little bit. But, you know, last night we're doing some interviewing for some documentary stuff that he's doing and everything. And, you know, these guys, they're just having a good time. They're back in the background. They're drinking beer and walking and talking, going around. And I'm just like, you know, and the only thing I can do is I can concentrate on one bottle of beer that was sitting back on one of the desks. And I'm, you know, answering the questions Gary's doing. I'm focused on that bottle of beer. You know, kind of look off camera over there. I'm answering the stuff. I'm going through the list, and I'm doing this, and I'm concentrating. Everybody's out walking around, partying and everything, trying to just, you know, ignore all that's going on. And I'm focused at that beer, focused, and everybody's doing them. And then Jet runs over, and he gets the beer, and he starts drinking. I'm going, oh, that's it. I mean, you guys are killing me here. I mean, you're just, whoa, seriously, you think it's that easy? You know, I need an Oscar. I mean, you know, guys are going up, you know, they're talking to green screens, you know, and they're supposed to be chased by dinosaurs or something. I mean, you know, that's hard, you know, so I'm going, whatever. So then we got that all done, and everybody had a good time, and we've been staying up late and, you know, enjoying ourselves. Well, today we went to the gun range. You know, Gary's from Chicago. Chicago? Yeah, what's a gun? You know, so we went up there, me and a friend, and we took a bunch of stuff from everybody, and we go, okay, here's a bunch of different kind of handguns, here's a bunch of different kind of rifles, and this, and then we just went through it, and then he did some footage of it, and we took some video of him doing that, so I'll make it into, you know, a lot of stuff that he does. And then tonight we're going to have a big party. Tomorrow we're going to get up. He has to go hit the airport tomorrow afternoon, so we have to get up early. You can't be partying too late. So what we're going to do is we're going to get up really early, and I have this little boat. It's like a 16 and a half footer, but it's a little speed boat. I mean, it's, you know, it's not, you know, uber duber. It's only, I got it used like $1,500, you know, years ago with my son, so it's, you know, it's not a big deal, but it's nice to get out on the water. And what happens is that you're on the water traveling here in Arizona, even though it's really hot because it's so dry, as you're moving, it's nice and cool, you know, so you're on the lake, it's cool. You got a little shade, a little bimini top, you know, you're doing good. You get out, they have a lake here called Canyon Lake. Canyon Lake is like, it's like a mini Grand Canyon with a river going through it, but it's really a dammed up lake, and it's just a channel that's probably, you know, at most, you know, it goes from 50 to a couple hundred yards wide, and you just go up the boat in this winding river for like 7-8 miles. Every single turn is a beautiful cliff face, monument valley looking water, cool place. And if you know the little coves and different places to go, you can go in. We're going to get great shots of Arizona. Arizona Gun Range, which is municipal. It's Arizona State Game and Fish run this thing. It's a really nice place. And they took it over from a private venture decades ago. It was called Ben Avery. And they took it over from them because what had happened is they leased the land. It's like a Bureau of Land Management kind of thing. And they did it for so long that people just kept donating their time, pour a little concrete, a little shade. And it grew into this hundreds of acre, big, giant shooting facility that includes archery and skeet and long-range rifle, 1,000-yard range, a short-range pistol, air rifle, has all kinds of training. I mean, it's just, it's a beautiful facility. And then it went to the county parks and rec, and then developers tried to get hold of it. So, of course, they come in, oh, it's evil to children. There's lead poisoning, too much lead in the dirt or something. I mean, they just make it up stuff. And the gunny's got all kinds of ornery about it. Well, what I did in 2004, they had Best of Phoenix, or it was a Point of Pride. They had Points of Pride. Phoenix is like a little thing they put out and give awards, and this is great. You know, they got the Phoenix Zoo, and they got this stadium, and this, you know, all these big government kind of projecting somebody that knows somebody in the government kind of thing. And I'm going, we're going to make a big deal out of Ben Avery, which is, it's in the city of Phoenix. It's a government-run thing, you know, which means that they could make it an ungovernment-run thing and give the money to let the developers make some cash by building homes, because it's just, you know, it used to be way out in the middle of the desert, take you a half hour to get out there. You know, now you're like downtown freaking Del Webb subdivision, okay? So it's up against a mountain. It's safe out there. It's fine. You're fine. You won't be there. Don't buy your home near an airport. I mean, come on, you know? So they're out there. And what we did is we had a campaign. I go, how are you determining these points of pride? Well, the CEO of Southwest Airlines was the head of this committee. And they had, you know, it was just all politics. You know, it's just a game they play. So they, we're this and that and input from the community and whatever. So we got the addresses that they were taking mail from, got and did a campaign. Overwhelming. The people who just did on the radio show just flooded them with all kinds of emails and letters and postcards and calls and politicians and lobbyists, and everybody and their grandma was getting, I got to say, Ben Avery becomes a Phoenix point of pride, saved it from the bulldozers for maybe one more generation. So that's where we went up there. It's a municipal run, well, not municipal, state run, game and fish facility, and it's just really world class, and it's really nice. And Gary got a chance to work on that and try out a bunch of different kinds of firearms. And I remember back in the mid 90s, in fact, one of the gentlemen that went with us, it was one of the guys that, you know, taught us. It's the mid-90s. They're going through all this Brady Bill stuff. They're going through all of the militia and the crime bill and terrorists and domestic this and camouflage wearing floppy hat and we don't like Clinton crap that was going on back then. And, you know, a lot of us, we understood gun rights, certainly as a libertarian activist. I mean, yeah, but a lot of us didn't even own firearms, and we even did Second Amendment is for Everyone, a safe pack for advocating for the initiative for the concealed carry initiative, but I didn't even have a firearm. When we go to different events and so on, I had one gentleman that was a supporter gave me a 9mm because he was embarrassed for me that I couldn't afford to buy a gun. So that was my first gun that was my own. I mean, my father had a bunch. You know, I get them when I need them. But that was my first one. It was given to me because even though I'm head of SAFE, I'm speaking on this, I'm running for office, I'm being real butthead about it. I didn't even own a firearm. But it didn't stop the Southern Poverty Law Center for putting me on their list back then. I was on top of the list because it was Arizona. You know, went by alphabetical order, and they had, you know, the SAFE militia. Well, the militia was a political action committee, you know, in support of some initiative. So that's how come I make so much fun of them and have Heidi Byrick on, the director of special projects, and just kind of doink her a little bit, because I'm going, I know what they are. It's all political. They just make it up as they go along. So I'm like, whatever. Yeah, they got Ron Paul on the list. Ron Paul. the Patriot list. Ron Paul. I mean, seriously, Ron Paul? But I'm the Ron Paul Revolution guy, but I don't get on. I mean, what is your criteria? And she said, she goes, we don't put libertarians on the list.
Oh.
Why? I don't know, man. They just don't want to play. So what we did is we had a young man that was very in the guns. I mean, he knew all the whippy-dippy and everything about him. And he was on a shooting team. You know, he was a competitive shooter. And we said, look, we really are ignorant. You know, we have, you know, the press club, because they get into all this. Is it a clip or a magazine? Well, you got these magazines that have, you know, the difference with a clip is that, like a stripper clip, is a piece of metal that holds a bunch of rounds of ammunition on it, and it's kind of like the old M14s or the old M1s that you have in World War II. They, you know, it goes ding, and the clip comes out or something, and you kind of strip them off in like an SKS does it now, and it's just that's a stripper clip. You know, all the bullets kind of go into your gun that strip off of this clip. Well, that's supposed to be a clip. A magazine, you say, give me a clip. Well, that's not the correct terminology. And you get all these gunnies, man, they'll jump all over you. No. Your 9mm Beretta or whatever, that's a magazine. And because, you know, get all into it. But, you know, these detachable magazines, that's a magazine, not a clip. So if you say that, then it means, you know, I know what you mean, but, you know, they get all freaked out. So they get on our butt about that. Then you have bolt action, semi-automatic and automatic. And the press is all going, oh, he has a automatic weapon. No, he had a semi-automatic. They wouldn't know the difference, and we didn't, you know, weren't schooled enough in the different firearms to even be able to tell them the difference. So we had one of these guys that came. Matter of fact, one of the gentlemen, his name was Rick Shiro, which was a ex-BATF explosion expert that testified for families against the government on Waco. I mean, hey, government didn't like him none too much. Certainly going around a bunch of libertarians and telling them, you know, a lot of things and what happened, like Oklahoma City and what's going on and inside the government and how he knew they were bad. That's why he left. And so it was, wow. But we learned. We learned all the different firearms, what they did, why, their uses, and so on. Because you watch a movie and Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know, kicks it up with his foot and grabs it and goes, da-da-da-da. I wouldn't even know where the safety was. You know, I'm like, where's the safety? Well, now we know. And that's what we showed Gary today from Chicago. And now he went to the Southwest and got gunified. We'll talk to him when we get back.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Declare your independence, and I know a lot of other people do too, but change it to what? For what? Why? What? What? I mean, what? I don't know. What? You know, because you're going to what? I just want to change the world for me. But there's only one way I know how to do that. And I think the only way that can be done is you do it for everybody else too. I want to be left alone. And the only way I'm going to be able to advocate for that and have any kind of success for it is to advocate it for everyone else. And it's Gary's back there. He's on the phone. He got caught up. He'll be out here in a little bit. We got plenty of time today. But he and I both were busy guys, man. We, you know, are constantly on the phone. We're both on the phone managing, doing whatever, you know. But he'll be out in a little bit, and we'll get caught up on some stuff. But the main thing is that he takes a different tact than I do. As does Michael, but we've all worked together, you know, for years on this stuff. We have a lot of the same friends. We're all friends. We overlap, you know, we, you know, enjoy each other's company. But, you know, I'm just like, you deal with me, you know, if you don't deal with them. So I'm just in the mindset that, you know, we're going towards the same direction. We have a heritage in this country. And I think humanity has its own kind of background, a history that probably transcends all cultures. I'll bet you if I lived in Egypt or if I lived in India, if I lived in a lot, they have their own heroes. in their movies, they have, it's the same kind of thing. I bet you that one lone warrior against the people that banded against the tyranny, the oppression of the people that weren't able to resist the oppression, that someone would come and help and save and this and that. And it's all based on just being left alone. There was this peaceful farmer that just wanted to, you know, and that's where we're going. So are you ready, Gary? You done? Are you? Yes? Okay. He's with us. I mean, a guy, you know, dang, we're all busy, but, you know, you got it all set.
I found something for you I think you might be interested in talking about. An article, Aviation Week, says, New World Order emerges for commercial aerospace.
I'm so shocked.
Yeah, could you believe something like that could happen, Ernie?
You know, I did ask that question. I had somebody on before, and we were talking about it, and I said, you know, do we have already government in space? I mean, have they laid claim to, you know, how far out? I mean, where are they going? Because I remember when they were starting to do this private space program, and they're going, oh, you can't do this. You got to get permission for what? I go, fine. You know, they'll go out in the ocean in a barge. They'll go to Mexico. They'll go, oh, no, no, if you're a U.S. citizen, we rule you, and we'll arrest you because you violated us, even in a different country, or have our jurisdiction, and we get you. I'm like, seriously? So you got to create a company and have some 22-year-old Mexican kid that be in charge of it so you can go do whatever? And they just, because they can't stand that you would do something without their sanction. And I'm going, well, what happens when the little Sri Lankan kid that grows up to be in the software engineer, de la, makes a gazillion dollars and does whatever, then what? And they go, well, and you start looking, and the United Nations and so on has created some kind of an envelope around the solar system or something that gives them jurisdiction in the future because the pinky swear they say they can. How far, what are you talking about? How far do they claim?
The article opens up by saying the stakes could not be higher as the commercial aerospace industry struggles to define the new rules of the road that will govern industrial and trade relations in the post-Airbus-Boeing duopoly.
So we're talking aerospace. You know, I mean, you know, well, it's mostly terrestrial stuff here.
That's what it looks like.
Yeah, I'm kind of thinking, you know, out in the space thing. Because I had talked to, I think it was Judge Buttrick. You know, he had something to say about one time we were talking about it, and he goes, oh, yeah, no, they're already kind of, you know, talking about this stuff. Because it was one of the issues of who owns the moon. When the United States went and planted the flag, and Neil Armstrong did one small step for man, one giant leap for government, you know, we claim it. You know, it's ours. Did they? You know, or is it, you know, a mankind thing? You know, did they just go, you know, whoever gets there wins? And so this is, you know, these are the kind of issues that, and as you get further, what you encompass so much area, the further you get out, the circumference, the shape of the sphere that you go out from the Earth. What about, is it Earth orbit? Not orbit around the Earth, but Earth's orbit around the sun. What if you have, you know, the same Earth orbit, you know, they, you know, people, you go out, you park out there, you're in the same orbit with the Earth, eventually come to you later or something. I mean, where? Is it halfway between Earth and Mars? Is that free area? Is the asteroid belts far enough? You know, because they're starting to go to asteroids right now. They want to divert the orbit of asteroids and see if they can do it. Why? Because they have a boatload of valuable minerals in them. And if you have the entire asteroid belt and you put your $3 million rocket on it and you make it go to where you can mine it in, you know, the moon's orbit or something, you can get to come over here and hopefully not, you know, be a planetary killer or extinction event, you know, on the Earth. Oops, sorry, we've got to carry the one. You know, you bring an asteroid out and it's full of, you know, unobtainium, whatever it is, you know, then you make some big giant cash. They're thinking and doing this now. They've been writing science fiction books on this right now. Can we not have government everywhere? Can we go to space and government not be invited?
I think it depends upon the reach of the police cars. You know, like how far can those police cars fly out and chase you? How far can those bullets go? You know, I mean, that's really, I think, that's the reach.
You know, there was a series called Firefly and a movie made called Serenity. And it was Joss Whedon, the guy that did Buffy the Vampire Slayer or something, you know, and he made this science fiction futuristic kind of world. And they called them the Alliance. And the Alliance was what was left over after the Earth battle between China and America. There's the alliance, the kind of government kind of came together. Well, people left Earth and went to another solar system, and they terraformed all these planets and moons and so on. They just, so this whole series takes place in this other place because they left Earth because they had just, you know, used it up. So they go to this other place, and they brought government with them. Well, a lot of the independent planets, more outlying areas, they try to not be. And that's what this whole thing is about, is the overreaching hand of the alliance. And a lot of the terminology and the phraseology and the conversations they have in this, the what do you call it, the dialogue in these episodes is just fantastic. And we did a series on it one time on my radio show years ago when they had just canceled it, because it was on Fox and they only let go like 13 episodes. And they put it, Universal Studios put the DVD, the season, which was only like 13 episodes and 10, and only 10 showed, I think. And they put it in a DVD set, and it was one of the top seven selling DVDs on Amazon in the world. And they went, what the heck was that? Then they go, well, okay, Paramount makes a movie, you know, or Universal's, I can't remember which one. They made a big, you know, multi-budget, you know, million-dollar big giant movie out of it. It was a great movie. Well, what happened was, is they didn't understand why it was so popular. Well, some of the suits did. That's why they canceled it. But a lot of people that were supportive of it, we had a show, had them come on, went on their chat line with their fan club and so on and said, ooh, this guy's going to talk about Firefly, you know, to get them to come over, flooded, melted down the servers, all right? We go, well, we know why it's so popular, because it's libertarian. It's all about the autonomy of the individual. That's why you guys like it, and you don't even know it. And they were taking this series and sending them to battleships and the libraries of aircraft carriers, and they're at the, you know, so that they could watch the movies and so on. So all of a sudden, all these Iraq veterans and all these guys in the Navy and all these people, they understood the terminology of this thing, and the government went, oh, no, 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 no. Because the theme of this was freedom, and the government was the bad guys, and why they were. And all the terminology, this little libertarian conversation stuff. Well, what happened was, now you start having talk, and they're going to do Atlas Shrugged. You know, Atlas Shrugged, here it comes. We're going to do Atlas Shrugged. Well, Ayn Rand's novel, Atlas Shrugged, you do that, you know, it's all over. And that's why for a generation, a movie has never been done about that book. I think it would be devastating to the man, because it is all about, and it's a Library of Congress came out with a survey they did. It is the second most popular or most influential book of all the people that responded to the survey, right behind the Bible. That's how popular it is. This future humanity is going forward without the need for rules and regulations and controls. And I'm just, so what Gary does is he's really doing a good job at trying to make use of this system to save us. How's it going, Gary?
You know, I have to say that spending the last couple of days here with Ernie and listening to him educate me through, you know, these past couple of days has been enlightening. And I'm trying to grasp it all, and you know, it keeps slipping through my fingers.
Yeah. He's trying to convert. We're each other's special project. You know, when we come back, now that Gary's all done playing on the phone and everything, you know, we'll go ahead and get right into Gary and what kind of experience. Because he's got to, you know, spend time with everybody and meet, you know, all the guys and kind of see the projects that they're working on and tell you about his impression of Freedom's Phoenix here and, you know, Ernie going on his rant last night and everything. And we're gonna get it all worked up as if he was you and you came here to Freedom's Phoenix and you got your first impression. Well, we'll get it from Gary. We'll see what he has to say. And then we'll go on to what the future holds, because Gary's a busy guy. We're going at the man from all kinds of different directions. And I bet you have your direction too. We'll find out what that is when we come back here on Declare Your Independence in just a little bit.